Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the New York Times bestselling author Jason Mott, and he is out with his fourth novel. This one is called Hell of a Book. It is available now everywhere, and if you're fans of the Jenna Bush Hager Book Club, she promoted this on her July book for this. And so, Jason, when I first saw the title, when you write a book that comes out with the title Hell of a Book, the cliches are just endless, and probably every interview somebody said, well, it really is a hell of a book. But take me back to the title as you thought about it. How did you come up with the title?
Yeah, sure. So actually, my agent came up with the title. Fun story, like, I've never titled any of my novels. It's always my agent or editor. But at some point in the process, we were trying to figure out what the title was going to be. I had submitted a few ideas. My agent hated all of the ideas. And so in the manuscript, there's discussion of this author who's written. Everyone he meets is, you know, oh, it's a hell of a book. It's a hell of a book. It became this running joke in the novel. And so my agent said that should be the title of the actual novel. And I kind of, you know, butted against it. I said, that's such an arrogant title. No thanks. And she goes, no, let's just do it anyway. And here we are.
Is it difficult? And I know we'll get into the book here in a second, but is it difficult to write a book without a title to it? Or do you have a working title in mind? Because it seems like when amateur writers sit down to write, the hardest thing they do is try to come up with a title. Most professional writers just write and don't even worry about the title.
Yeah, I think titling books too early can be a trap. I tell my students sometimes, like, because what happens is you start trying to write for the title instead of writing for the book. And that becomes just a trap. So I tell people, don't worry about the title. Just write it, and worry about the title later.
All right. Well, this book it's kind of a book within a book. You got an author on a book tour, and you've also got some parallel stories going on. So can you kind of take us through this a little bit and tell us what's going on here?
Sure thing. So the story is about an author who has written a very big manuscript. He's on book tour for it. And as he's on book tour, it's a lot of comedic scenes where he's kind of encountering a lot of strange things. One thing that he encounters is this 10-year-old boy who named the Kid, who keeps appearing in very different places. And the author has this thing where he struggles to differentiate between reality and fiction and his imagination a lot of the time. So he can't tell if this kid he keeps seeing is actually real or not. And as he's going through his book tour, there's discussion of a shooting that's occurred somewhere in the United States, a young black boy who has been shot. And the author is trying to avoid that as he's trying to continue on with his book tour career. So that's one of the narratives. And then there's also a narrative of a boy named Soot, who is a 10-year-old boy in the South, and his experience, which leads to also a discussion about race in America and identity in America.
As a black man, you write about race here, and I think I hear both sides of this. I hear people tell black writers, don't write black, and then other people tell them to write about it. So where did you fall on this as far as what advice you got from editors?
Yeah, so for this one, luckily this one was kind of written in isolation. Like, I didn't have an editor when I first started writing it. It was just a project that I wanted to kind of work on. And that exact topic, the idea of whether or not authors, black authors in particular, should write about being black or have to write about being black, is one of the things that the novel discusses. The author in the novel has spent his career not writing about race, and now he's being forced almost to actually write about race. And it talks about what happens to, you know, minority voices when they're being put into this box of having to write about only about race. So that's definitely one of the things that I've kind of dealt with in my career, and I want to make that part of the novel as well.
When I read black authors who write about race, it seems like you would think the cliche would be that, well, it's the same story for everybody. Every one of the stories is different the way it's touched on, whether it's a novel or nonfiction. And so when you're writing this, do you look to other black authors who've touched this subject, or is this simply your story and the other stories can go away, that they're not your story?
No, I think it's a combination of both. There's a weird duality there where, like, In many senses, the race idea is very not cliche, but, like, it's a thing that is very universal. Like, you know, my story about race and the feelings that I kind of felt from it personally as an individual can be paired up with many other black authors. And, like, we understand each other. We understand that feeling. And yet the voice through which we tell this story and have this discussion can be very different. And so for a hell of a book, I felt like there haven't been many black authors who have written about race in a kind of absurdist comedy style of writing. I think that's a space that hasn't really been explored by black voices very prominently in novels. And so that was the thing. That's my twist on this, my particular voice on this very universal kind of subject.
This whole book tour idea, and I've read novels before about authors on book tours, but I've never read one quite like this, the way you combine the stories. But when you have an author on a book tour, that's got to be just a complete fodder for comedic events just in and of itself, and probably something that there's not a lot of us that could understand it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, the whole idea came from my book tour for The Return, my very first novel back in 2013. When that came out, I was on this six or eight week book tour that was just a very frenetic, new city every day, new town every day, constant running, constant going. And I had so many bizarre experiences and so many bizarre stories that I knew I wanted to incorporate that into a novel somewhere down the road. So you fast forward nearly a decade and hell of a book to fold that into this discussion about race and identity as well.
Well, take me back to what you were doing in your life before you published that first book and went on that tour, because you had a much different career.
Yeah, very much so. So before The Return happened, I was a call center receptionist at a cell phone company. So basically, when someone's cell phone broke or they wanted to just be angry about the bill, they called into the customer service line, and I was the person getting yelled at for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week by people. It was a very terrible job. That's why to this day, I tell people, anytime you encounter customer service, be nice, because they go through such a rough kind of existence being a call center rep. So just be nice to people.
Well, at the time, you're writing the regulars, and so you're doing that. Are you doing that in a bubble, though? Did anybody know you were writing?
Yeah, I had a few friends, because I had written a couple of poetry collections. Now, poetry isn't the most read medium, obviously, so I had a few friends who knew about it, but most people at my job didn't know that I was, trying to become a writer at the time. I was just a guy who worked there, and I'm sure, because everyone at those kinds of jobs has these passions they do on the side, so I was just one person who had a passion for writing on the side. So most people didn't know about it, and then, when I found the sold The Return, all these people I had previously worked with got to see, he's been writing all this time, he actually wrote this while he was working here, that's very cool. So it was a good moment.
Do you find that people treat you differently as a published writer versus when you're working at a call center? They're a little more apprehensive because they don't want to end up a character in your book or have any of their lines quoted. Do you get that sense?
No, I actually get the exact opposite sense. When people find out that I'm a writer, they definitely want to tell me stories to incorporate into this. You should write about this, and let me tell you this story that happened. You can have it. You can use this in one of your stories. People are more open to you, I find, when they find out you're a writer, because they want to tell their stories, and they get caught up in the idea of being in a story at some point. And some of those have been made it into projects, so yeah.
I'm chatting with Jason Mott about his brand-new book called Hell of a Book. It's available everywhere, and it's also a Jenna Bush Hager book club selection for this month, for July. Jason, one of the things I think about when I talk to fiction writers, is they're very creative, and a lot of these characters seem very real to them in their heads, and hell, they seem real in our heads as readers. And so it's not a huge stretch to have an author on a book tour come up with a character in his head who seems very real. And have you had that experience just as yourself as a writer?
Yeah, I think that's honestly my daily existence at this point. I've been writing so long, and when you spend, a year and a half, 2 years building a novel, creating a character, and living with them for so long, you don't leave them. They always stay with you, and you hear their voice in your head at certain times, and you kind of see life through their lens even at certain times. My very first novel, The Return, those characters are still a part of me, and, all my other novels. And so, yeah, it's a very real thing, and I kind of wanted to play with that also in the novel and have that be a part of the story, because it's a unique phenomenon. I think it's very special because it allows you to see things through a very different perspective sometimes.
And I know this book took you a long time to write, and it's been festering in your head and then putting it on paper for quite a while. And you teach writing as well, so as you go back and look at what you wrote at the very beginning of this, is it almost nails on the chalkboard that you read some things and say, God, if I was this much smarter, 3 years later as I'm looking about this? I mean, you're obviously a much better writer at the end of this book than you are at the beginning, so how's that editing process work?
Yeah, it's a lot of going back and revising things that were terrible, 5 years ago, however long ago. And that's part of the creative process. I think that's the beauty of writing, is that you're always growing and you're always changing and evolving and learning to look back at your work and not see it as bad work, but just see it as work that's not quite as developed yet. I think that's the key to it. Too many writers see it as bad and they feel bad about it. And it's no, it's just not developed and you've changed, you've grown, so it's definitely a part of the process, going back and seeing your mistakes and learning from them. That's the key to it.
Is self-editing one of the most difficult things a writer does, or at least for you?
It definitely gets easier. But I think I've gotten to the point now where self-editing is probably the easy part, and having, like, working with other editors can become the tricky part, because a lot of times my ego, you know, your ego gets in the way, and it's like, no, this part is perfect, and then your editor's like, no, this is terrible, it needs to be taken out or redone, and I have to just kind of think about it and, like, really be, like, not let the pride get in the way and say, okay, you know what, the editor totally has a point here, because editors are good at what they do. Like, they usually know what they're talking about when they tell you something needs tweaked, so... Self-editing is actually easier now. I think working with editors is probably trickier for me, but that's just my brain being in the way.
Do you have to be a certain amount of time removed from writing a certain portion of the book before you can effectively self-edit it? Because it's difficult to read your own work.
Yeah, wholeheartedly. If there is, particularly if there is something personal in the writing that you're doing that is very close to you emotionally, you need to have distance. And even if there's not, just regular, you just wrote a story that's pure imagination, even that, I tell people, put it away for 2 or 3 months, literally 2 or 3 months, and then come back to it and look at it with very fresh eyes, and you'll see it from a whole new perspective, and that'll help you with the editing process.
And then as you go around on the tour and doing these interviews and things like that, talking about this book, how long has this book been in the can for you? It's at least a year, right?
You mean from the time we finished it until the time it's published?
Right.
Yeah. We sold the novel, I think, summer last year, so like June, I think, of last year or something like that. And then we spent a few months editing. So it's been about a year from the time that we finished it up till people be able to read it, which is a very difficult, weird kind of year, because you're waiting for people, for the readers to catch up, because you want to talk about it. And it's just a year of waiting to see what people think of it. It's very fun.
So before you start doing publicity for a book, how far back do you have to go and remember these things? Because you've obviously taken on more writing projects since then, and now your mind's full of new characters.
Yeah, I think that's honestly the difficult part. And I was talking to someone else about this recently, a friend of mine, because my friend was asking me a question about the book and about a certain character and a certain scene. And it took me a long time to remember the scene and the question, like, to remember that moment. And she was like, why do you have trouble remembering your own book? And I told her, I said, you got to remember, like, I finished this a year ago. I've been working on other stuff in the time from that. But even more than that, like, I've been through 12, 13, 14 revisions of this. Like, I remember all the other revisions. There are scenes that did not even make it into this book that I fully remember. And so when you ask me about a certain scene, I have to remember, which one is that again? Which version of that scene are you reading? Like, it's a very strange phenomenon.
You know, when I hear a song on the radio that I remember where I was when I heard it. Do you have that same same experience when you write a book? You remember exactly where you were when you wrote this particular scene?
Sometimes, yes. There are definitely some scenes that I remember exactly where I was when I wrote them. But I would say the majority of the time, it kind of becomes this blur. Because again, like, you touch a scene so many times over and over and over again that the memory of writing that scene becomes a combination of, like, you wrote it, you know, in the winter time when you were editing it the first time, and then there's the spring time when you were, like, you changed the whole dynamic of it. So sometimes it happens, but usually it becomes a really big kind of blur of, like, constantly touching the scene and, like, characters growing with you.
Well, it's just fascinating to hear your perspective on this, and the book is fantastic as well. It's called Hell of a Book. It's the latest novel from Jason Mott. He's a New York Times bestselling writer. If you haven't read a Jason Mott novel, go pick one up and especially get this one. Jason, just a fantastic offering here, and thanks for joining us to talk about it.
Terrific. Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome. Thanks a lot.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. I'm a-